I've been thinking a lot recently about Solomon. God blessed him in so many special ways. He started out with humility and dependence on God. He loved the Lord. And he was blessed with, and I'll talk about that in a little bit, but more wisdom than God gave any other man. It was a human wisdom. I understand if you read the wisdom of Solomon, it's in Apocrypha that he even talks about the different chemicals and the different arrangement of chemicals. But there came a time that he had disobeyed God in an area. And it was just pointed out, you can have all the wisdom in the world, but if you don't obey what God tells you to do, it's disaster. And we'll talk about that a little bit. But it has opened to me just this idea I wanted from the Word just to share how important it is to God for obedience. We don't know a lot about it, but there was a time in the creation of angels that were serving God that Lucifer is one of the most beautiful, one of the most strong angels, I believe. And the Word says that he decided to rebel and make himself, I'll be like the Most High. And he disobeyed God and fell. And we're dealing with him. We'll deal with him till he's put away forever. And obviously, a number of angels decided to disobey as well. And it's caused a huge problem of hatred against God and hatred against Jesus Christ. But we read this morning, Brent read for us, early record of the first mankind, huge disobedience that still has affected everybody that's born other than Jesus Christ, because he did not come through the lineage of his father. He came from the Holy Spirit. But I want to read a couple of verses in chapter 2 that he didn't read here, that I didn't have him read. Let's see, in 2:15. And the Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, lest thou die. And the thing I wanted to just point out in that is that our old flesh and the enemy would like us to think there's very little we can do and everything is no's. And I just want us to understand God. He wants to bless people. He said, you eat every tree. One's off limits. And that one will cause disaster. And it seems like Eve was understanding of that. Even the enemy came to her in evidently a beautiful creature in that time, because his condemnation was that he had to go to the earth after that. All snakes had their inheritance in that. Evidently stood up and had, but so persuasive and questioned why God said that. It's because he doesn't want the best for you. And I just want to just remind us, he still works the same way. Our flesh has a problem many times with obedience, but we have an enemy that will make out that disobedience is going to be a wonderful thing for you. It's going to do good things for you. He has not stopped working in the same way. He said, God doesn't want you to know the blessings you will have. And she was beguiled. And so you can mark it down that the enemy will come to you with temptation. and say, I know what you've been taught, I know what God's word says, but I want you to know this is going to help you a lot, and you watch out for that. And because God graciously designed things to give choice, and you really could not honor God without choice if we were somehow enslaved to it. It's out of the free will of our selves that we can honor God. And then I want to just read several, just directed a couple different passages that deal with that. And one that, as I read through the Bible every time, come to Deuteronomy 28. I just think if his people reading that, and even us today, to know how very important it is to obey God, obey what he said, to do what he said. He wants to bless you. In Deuteronomy 28, it said, and it's come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all the commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And then he says, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee. I don't know, I don't remember which translation or paraphrase it says, but they will run you down. And they're in verses 3 through 14. There's 11 verses enumerating these blessings will come. And of course, he's giving it to his people. But he said, if you'll just do what I command you to do, they'll run you down. But then he comes to verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And boy, if you want to read some horrible things that you don't want to go through, there's through verse 15 through 68, many more verses warning them what will happen if you don't go God's way and what he intended. He wants to bless, and it's so important and for young people to understand that God has designed it such that he will be able to bless, and there will be a blessed way in your life if you will do what he said. And so then he warned his people. And then I wanted to just remind us out of Isaiah chapter 1, because there's another problem that can happen, especially to religious people, and people go to church, and people that appear to be serving the Lord. In Isaiah 1, starting in verse 10, he says to them, he's asking, what purpose of the sacrifices unto me? I am full of burnt offerings. He says, when you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand? Bring no more vain oblations, incense is an abomination to me. All these things that God had designed and asked them to do. He's saying, I really can't tolerate it, because I see your heart, and your heart is not obedient. It's not in your heart. You are going through outward presentation of yourself, but inwardly and behind the scenes, you're not obeying me. And that's why, and it's very common, says he comes to 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow, though they be like crimson, scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And so he's saying to his people, and probably in the group of people that are worshiping, they wouldn't know the difference. Outwardly, it seemed like they were right, but God's always looking at the heart. And there's another area of obedience that we need to understand, that God wants heart obedience. And I say this before I come to the Lord's table, because the Lord has given us a warning, really, through Paul, as you observe the Lord's Supper and come together to do the Lord's Supper. A couple of verses from 1 Corinthians 11. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty in body of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. God is not saying that we have to be perfect people, everything in our life has to be lined up, but our heart has to be right with God, that we want to be clean, we want to follow Him, we want to be obedient to Him. He's looking at the heart. I have worked with people that they're working through things in their life, and they say, it's okay for me to observe the Lord's Supper and see if my heart is to be clean, my heart is to get it right, and you need to go ahead and eat. He's not looking for people that absolutely have no flaw. There's none of us that do not sin. But praise God, we have 1 John 1:9. If we sin, we confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I think that's also very important to understand. But Isaiah 1 makes it clear. You can do all the outward things. You can look good doing them. But God's looking at the heart. I love the verse that God gave to Asa through one of his prophets. Asa had gotten off the track. Early on, he really served God and believed God. But he said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is right with him. That's what God's looking for, obedience from the heart, that you not trying to please men, but pleasing God. I was thinking of another illustration with King Saul, first king of Israel, that he was called upon to destroy the Amalekites, utterly destroy the Amalekites. There's a spirit of Amalek that's still going about today. But he did fight the Amalekites. They killed the people. They kept the king alive, but they kept all the best of the livestock. And that's where Samuel says, Saul said, I've obeyed the Lord. Samuel says, what's this bleeding that I hear in the ears of these animals and the lowing of the animals? Oh, well, those we want to save just to sacrifice to the Lord. And that's where Samuel told Saul, obedience, God is looking for obedience, not sacrifice. He further told him, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. He says, you have rejected the word of the Lord, and he's rejected you for being king over Israel. But I want to consider Solomon for a few moments here. As we come to read about Solomon, you know, David's son, became king after David. And in 1 Kings and chapter 3 and verse 3, let me get there. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. But he had a heart for God. And you know, it's in this passage then that God came to him in a dream at night and asked him, what do you want me to do for you? What shall I do for you? And his answer was, I am just a little child, and I do not know how to go out and come in And please give therefore my servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great thy people? And I don't know, I guess if God comes to you and asks a question at night in your sleep, you're probably going to tell the truth. He was humble, he just didn't feel up to the job. Please give me wisdom. And it says that his speech pleased the Lord. And he said to Solomon, because you did not ask for the lives of your enemies, you did not ask for riches, you did not ask for all these things that commonly people would ask for, I'm going to do all those. But I'm also going to give you wisdom. I'll give you wisdom beyond what anybody else has been able to have. And so you read through the record of him and the wonderful way that God blessed him. We can read Proverbs and see his wisdom in that, and Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And those scriptures, even though he fell away, are good and right. God was with him, and God blessed him. But then you come to 1 Kings chapter 11. In 1 Kings chapter 11, it says, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord had said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they go into you, for surely they will turn your heart away after their gods, and away from me. Solomon, also back in Deuteronomy, Moses sharing God's word said, when you set up a king, there's several things that is important for that king, and I won't read it right now, but one of them was, do not multiply wives to yourself, because they will turn your heart away. And so there's a couple things he did. In all his wisdom, he did not relate it back to obedience. I guess Solomon must have felt he can handle it. But God knows us. He knows what we're like. And so also they were to write a copy of the word of God that they had at that time, and to read in it every day so their heart would not be lifted up. And I don't know if Solomon did that, but he certainly did multiply wives to himself. And not only he violated the thing, he said, do not let your sons marry wives of these tribes, these heathen tribes. And so it says, Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and the hill that's for Jerusalem, and Molech, the abomination of Ammon. And so he not only is letting his wives do their worshiping, but he is making idols for them. And the sad word comes in 11:9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which he had appeared to him twice. And the effects of that was that it divided the kingdom. His son ended up with two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, and the rest of the tribes of Israel went under a godless leader. And so the life of Solomon should speak to us. Beware when you get older. Studying the kings of Judah, many of them did well and they served the Lord and they continued to serve the Lord, but some, when God blessed them, then their heart turned away from them. Today we observe the Lord's Supper, and I just want to talk about just for a moment an obedience, an amazing obedience. I David, or God gave us a picture of Abraham and Isaac, say, now take your son and slay your son. And who can try to understand what was in Abraham's heart? They'd waited for a child, they had a child, and now God's saying, sacrifice your child. I think God wanted to give us a picture of the agony of the father to send his son to rescue us. And of course, God had a way out, for he did not have to slay Isaac. But he's sending his son to die for us. And the obedience of Jesus Christ, I just think of the greatest obedience and most difficult obedience in all of eternity. We have the verse from Philippians 2:8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And it's the obedience of Jesus Christ that has paid for our salvation. It's not hard to come to Christ unless you have an awful lot of pride, but because of what he did for us and what it cost for us. Isaiah 53:6, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. At that moment when Jesus Christ died and paid for our sins in obedience to the Father, and he said in John 8, I do always those things that please the Father. It was an awful time, because our sin, our future judgment and all was laid on him and broke fellowship with the Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? How he must have sensed that in a horrible way. But he paid for our sins. He paid for our salvation. And we remember him today in that. I didn't have it down to say this, but I just want to say that. We've got some children here. We've got some people here that we haven't been here before, so we don't know your history. I was 9 years old, and I'd been listening to HCJB and heard about the gospel. We were attending a church, but they didn't really share the gospel. But I heard it from Quito, Ecuador. And I know that previous, my mom saw to it, we went to a gospel meeting. And I know that I've been thinking about, hell would be a horrible place to go, and I hadn't been talking about, but then when we heard a message that Jesus paid for our sins, and I suppose there were maybe 500 people there, I don't know, we went to Sioux City, Iowa, and there was an invitation to accept Christ, and I always remember I had the thought, my folks probably won't find me if I go forward, but I don't care, I want Jesus. And so I was the first one that went forward. My sister also then went, and my folks rededicated their life to the Lord. But anyway, that's where it started with me. At 9 years old, I wanted salvation, and I accepted Jesus. And I just want to say that when our service is over, if anybody is here and you really want to accept Jesus, we'd be happy to talk with you and pray with you. It's not hard to receive him because of what he did to pay for our sins, Calvary. And I just, for all of us, as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, God's looking for obedience from the heart. I want to follow you. I want to serve you. I want your life to count in my life. So I want to pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much. My heart grieves for Solomon to be led away like that. Lord, all the wisdom in the world didn't keep him from disobeying you. Lord, I don't know what the issues are in each of our lives here, but I pray that as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper, that we'd have it right with you. So grateful, God, for 1 John 1:19, you not only forgive our sin, but you cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we repent and come before you. Lord, I pray that this be a precious time of remembering what you did for us, Lord Jesus, what you paid for us. We thank you and ask that we, our lives before you, would be a blessing to you, Lord Jesus, as we remember you today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me the salvation so rich and free. And fathers, we've been reminded again of what Jesus did for us. May we live for him, may we tell others, and rescue those that need salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for paying the price. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.